Praise God. You know, I grew up in church. My dad was, some of you know, but some of you may not, that he was a preacher. He was a missionary. And so I grew up around a lot of Christian people. And I can remember when I was younger, I pretty much thought that all these people, Sunday school teachers, people that labor in the church, people, in my mind, they were all perfect. And I didn't ever consider that maybe they had some battles or some glitches or problems. But how many know as you go on in life, you begin to realize that everybody has glitches. Everybody has some flaws. I remember one of the ladies that her name was Edith, and she impacted me, and she helped me get my first good Bible that was my Bible, and she was a Sunday school teacher. And then I, you know, later on I found out that, you know, she'd had struggles in her marriage, and she'd had to raise kids alone, and there were different things. But the good thing is it didn't stop her from impacting my life. And so I want to look today. The title of this sermon is The Marred Vessel. Because God has a word, and I'm not saying I have a word, I'm saying God has a word for everybody here today. I don't have a doubt about this message. Let's go to Jeremiah 18. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Let's pray first. Jesus, we need you today, God. We don't need cool ideas and different things, but God, we need you. We need the spirit of life and the spirit of liberty that only you can bring, God, the spirit of hope that comes from knowing your plans and your purposes. So I pray today for open hearts. I bind up every distracting, luring, demonic spirit that would lure. We close the door to you, Satan. You will have no reign in this place today. And I loose the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God and the dominion of Jesus Christ right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read this today. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. It says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Who is it from? The Lord. Jeremiah didn't say, I've got something for you. How many of you, this is very clear. He says, this is a word. It's from the Lord. And so he goes on. Then in verse 2, arise, God's talking to Jeremiah, and go down to the potter's house, to the place where they make pottery. And there I will let you hear my words. Okay, so Jeremiah gets this word, gets up one morning. God says, Jeremiah, I have a word for you. Go down to where they make pottery, and then I'm going to speak to you. So Jeremiah gets up, he goes down there, and he says, so I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. So have you ever seen a potter work with that clay? So that wheel's spinning around, and they're slopping water on there and prodding that and shaping that, and all of a sudden, boom, it goes to pieces. It was spoiled in the potter's hand. I want you to keep that in mind. In the potter's hands. And he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done? Declares the Lord. Behold, like this clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So here today is a really important message. Maybe it hits you at a time when you feel like that messed up clay, that marred clay. But if it doesn't, and if you've never had that experience, just hang on to your boots because it'll come. There are no perfect people. I had a thought a while back. I thought, God, if all you can use is people that have never messed up, the pickings are pretty slim in our church. I don't know about the church across town, but I've been around a while, and I've been in Christian circles for, and you know what? If all God uses is people that have never been marred or messed up, whew, it's very Maybe they're out there. Enoch walked with God. But I think probably, even if we knew Enoch, there was times when there were things going on in his life. So, but there's a tremendous message, and God is saying today, this is my word. This is from the Lord. It's from the Lord for you. It's from the Lord for me. Contains truth in it, not man's ideas. See, man's ideas is that, well, if you mess up, it's over. If you mess up, unless you're a politician. The more you mess up a politician, the higher they'll put you. But for the average person, if you mess up, especially as a Christian, it's over. And God has a different word. How many would rather have God's word instead of what the world says? The ideas of people. See, do you realize today that everybody, I believe at times, has been that marred vessel? That all of a sudden, it's going good. You're getting shaped, and all of a sudden, you do one little, and you know, if you've ever messed with clay like that, it happens quick because that wheel spins all of a sudden, boom, and it's just to pieces. One of the people that I've read their testimony that really impacted me is the story. There's a book called The Daughter of Destiny, and it's about Catherine Kuhlman. Catherine Kuhlman had quite an interesting life. And when she was old, not too long before she went to be with the Lord, she was talking to the guy that had worked with her on several books. His name was Jamie Buckingham. And so they're talking about, he's going to write her final book, tell her story. And he knew the sort of the sordid details of some of the portions of her life. And he says, you know, Catherine, he says, what do you want me to put? How much do you want me to show? And you know what? She said an amazing thing. She said, Jamie, I want you to tell it all. I don't want you to hold back. I want you to tell it all. I want you to tell the ups and the downs. She went through some deep, deep waters. As a young woman, she began in Denver, Colorado. They had these like camp meeting church, and it just exploded, and people got saved, and God began to move, and then she got involved with another guy, another preacher that was married, and ended up blowing. They ended up blowing both of their men. He was from like Michigan or someplace up in the north, and it blew both of their lives apart over a period of time, ruined his marriage, and the glory left her life, and she couldn't minister anymore. So finally, she resigned everything, and she was married to him at that point, and she moved to California and just disappeared. And there was a period of time in there, and ultimately, she had to make some real hard choices to get right with God. She severed that relationship, and she went on, and God began to use her again. She didn't go back to pastoring. She just would do these meetings. And some of the most amazing healings you'll read about in modern time happened in Catherine Kuhlman's meetings. Miracles. Undeniable. Get some of her books and read these miracles will blow your mind. She would not put any miracle in the book unless it was verified by the family doctor, I think, and a second doctor. She wasn't just trying to promote stuff. But what's so amazing, after Catherine Kuhlman was not perfect, and you know why she said, Jamie, tell it all? Was because she wanted to encourage people like you and me. And so she was the marred vessel. And I want to look at this morning because there's a word from God for you today. While in the potter's house, he sees the marred vessel, the lump of clay, the problems that blow up. The person that fell into, that got delivered from drugs and alcohol and then somehow got back in drugs and alcohol. Not too long ago, I read the story of Max Lucado. How many have ever heard of Max Lucado? Got lots of books out there. And he shared, you know, he's kind of like Catherine Kuhlman. He just told it all. And he talked about how after pastoring these churches and writing all these books, somehow he got into a dark place. And he said, I found myself, I would drive across town and I would buy whiskey and put it in a paper bag. I had to go across town where nobody knew me or my vehicles. And he said I would sit out in the parking lot and just drink. And you know what? He's not there today. God brought him completely. He broke that curse off of his life. I bring that up is because every one of us is going to face these things. Drugs, alcohol, a moral failure. How many have ever made a bad money decision that kind of came down on your head? Where you fell in love with the world. You fell in love with the job. You fell in love with the things of this life. Simple selfishness. Where you say, you know what, my marriage went down the tubes and I know it was my fault. That's a hard thing to do. I know that it affected my family, my kids, whatever. And you're like that piece of clay. And all of a sudden, what you thought couldn't happen, you got saved, you knew God. You were, because the Bible says here that the word of the Lord came to him, and he says, from the Lord. And he says, and I went down, and he says, and the vessel was... that he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. In the potter's hand. When you were in church, when you were in that place where you thought everything would be perfect, in the potter's hand, sometimes vessels get messed up. In the potter's hand. See, we have to be humble enough to admit that we've been marred. Well, in the potter's hands. You say, well, that shouldn't happen. You're right. But it has. It's had to happen many times. Billy Graham, he wrote something I wanted to read to you. He says, that paradise of peace was turned into a prison of confusion. The sun sank over the fringe of Eden, and the gloom, despair, and loneliness settled down upon the world. Man, who a few hours previously had basked in the glorious light of Eden, now hid in the shadows of a haunted forest, and the sword of his conscience cut deeply into his soul. The vessel had become marred in the hands of the potter. Man had become a sinner, a transgressor, a disobedient child of creation. He was immediately classified as an alien from God, and even as an enemy. Think about that. In the most perfect place in this world that's ever been would be Eden, right? It was perfect. The days were right. The weather was right. God was good. He walked with them. There was the battles that you and I faced in Eden, but somehow in that perfect place, they got marred. It came apart somehow. You know, the devil... I'm so glad that God's not done with us. You say, well, what did he do for them in Eden? He went to the cross. He went to the cross. And so God's dealing, and he's telling Jeremiah, I can do something here. You know, I love to hear stories about people that never... that I don't know that they've ever struggled. They don't really encourage me. But people that have come through it and they've gotten back up, I love it when somebody gets... Don't you love those deals where somebody attacks and somebody and they get... You count them out, you count them as down, and they get back up. That's what God wants us to do today. See, the world likes beautiful people that do everything right. But there's really none of those. The world likes flawless perfection, but in reality, we're flawed. So I want to look at the reality of the potter's attitude, first of all. So when he goes down there and he sees that part, that pot come apart, and he says, immediately it says, and the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's house, and he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. So there's no hesitation there. It says it came apart and he reworked it into another vessel. That's a promise for you and I. You say, what God's going to? He's going to rework you into another vessel. He's going to rework you into, he's going to put some things back together. It may not look like the first, you know, somebody, and God's... in God's world, plan B may be a lot better than plan A was. Look through your Bible. See people that rose up. And so he says immediately he's going to rework it. You know what? The world will throw you into a clay trash heap. Say, you're done. You've done this. You failed as a husband. You failed as a dad. You failed in this way. Or you failed. But you know what I love? There is no hesitation here. God is not freaked out by marred pots. He's not freaked out. He didn't go, oh my goodness, Gabriel, what are we going to do? It came apart. He said, okay, let's redo this. Let's put you back on the wheel. Let's get some things going again. I'm going to use you. No hesitation. You know, I've been in groups around people, and one particular situation I remember, and it was in this fellowship that we were once a part of, and when somebody failed in that group, I mean, they're gonna hold you for 5 years. I kid you not. They're going to basically sideline you for 5 years. I don't see that in this scripture. I'm not saying you don't have to deal with things. I'm not saying there's not accountability. But I'm telling you that the best thing you do is immediately get back on that wheel and let God begin to form again. You know what? When we push people and we throw them, say, you're going to sit over here for 5 years. You know what happens? Discouragement. It gives the devil an open door. But he reworked immediately into another vessel. See, how many people end up in hell because they did not believe in their heart that God could do something about their situation? How many people committed suicide because they saw no way to be put back in that place of usefulness? See, it's not, I'm not even just dealing with just being forgiven. I'm talking about becoming something useful. You know, the way humans are made, we can't be useless. We can't just, you know, David said after his terrible failure in Psalms 51, he says, Lord, he said, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit, cast me not away from thy presence, all these things. And then he says, and I'll teach sinners your ways. And you might say, well, who's David to teach anybody anything? He committed adultery. He murdered. Who was he to do that? But you know what? It is part of God's plan of redemption. If you stay on the sidelines, you will not recover. You have to get back on the wheel and say, God, I'm going to allow you to make me new again. I'm going to allow you to do. Well, you say, what is he going to do? I don't know. He's the potter, right? But we need to be reworked. We need to know that God has no hesitation. How many people, see, the devil will do anything to hide this. There's faith involved here. You know, there's a time in Israel's history, in 1 Samuel 12, you can read about it. And Israel had demanded their way, and they said, we want a king. And God said to Israel, they said, that's not a good idea. It's not going to be good. I'm telling you right now that if you demand a king instead of having judges that I've set up to lead you, it's not going to end well. It's not going to be good. But they demanded their own way. And then it says, and all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die. For we have added all our sins, to all of our sins, this evil, to ask for ourselves a king. And Samuel said to the people, do not be afraid. You have done all this evil. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all of your heart, and do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. For the Lord, here's the part, for the Lord will not forsake his people. You can put your name in. For the Lord will not forsake you. You can put your name, your family. He says to Israel, he will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. So he took Israel. He said, it's not over. I'm going to turn this thing around, even though they had done that. So what is the potter's attitude today? You say, well, Pastor, you may believe that, but I don't know how God feels. I'm telling you how God feels today. He says, I'm going to rework you in a beautiful way. I'm going to do things. You know, sometimes we think, well, that's just as, You know, that's just the best is gone. That's as good as it gets. You know, I love to look at, if you've never seen any of Doris John's pottery, how many have seen some of Doris John's pottery? It's amazing. And so for years, she would just do this beautiful pottery with this etching in it and all of that. And so a while back, I said, Doris, what are you working on now? She says, well, I've really gotten into painting. I said, can I see some of what you're doing? And so she showed me some pictures. It's stunning. And she does these paintings. You know, and my thought here is this. You know what? You thought it was great. You thought the etched pottery was great. You thought that. And God will say, watch this. I'm going to show you. I'm going to take you to a whole new thing. I'm going to do something that you never thought about before. I'm going to work your life. You look at people like Catherine Coleman. She had this great ministry that she thought that she could never, and yet God used her around the world. There were generations that were changed because he used her in a healing ministry. He's got things for you to do. I think what Doris is doing today on her pottery, it far surpasses the early stuff. He's reworking us, church. But it says, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Are you willing today to let God do as it seems good to him? See, now in this, your part is there's going to be a surrender. There's going to say, God, I've made a mess, but I'm going to surrender. I'm going to let you do whatever you, I'm going to be whatever vessel you want me to be. I'm not going to choose whether I'm going to be a picture or a pot. I'm not going to choose what I'm going to be. But Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to surrender and let God. He says, whatever the potter seemed good to the potter. See, I'm talking about his timing. I'm going to let you put the people in my life that you want in my life. I'm going to let you pick my husband. I'm going to let you pick my wife. I'm going to let you pick my job. I'm going to let you pick my financial status. I'm going to let you pick my career. That's a whole lot of picking going on, isn't it? Are you willing to surrender and say, God, I'm tired of being marred. You know, when we push our own way, that's how we get marred in the first place. See, in the potter's reworking in your life, there's going to have to come this issue of surrender. Smith Wigglesworth wrote this. He said, when God's Spirit comes in as the ruling, controlling power of our lives, he gives us God's revelation of our inward poverty, and he shows us that God has come with one purpose, to bring heaven's best to earth. He also shows that with Jesus, he will indeed freely give us all things, Romans 8:32. And an old man and an old woman had lived together for 70 years. Someone said to them, you must have seen many clouds during those days. And they replied, where do the showers come from? You never get showers without clouds. It is only the Holy Spirit who can bring us to the place of realization of our poverty, that every time he does it, he opens the windows of heaven and the showers of blessing fall. But I must recognize the difference between my own spirit and the Holy Spirit. My own spirit can do certain things on natural lines. It can even weep and pray and worship, but it is all on a human plane. We must not depend on our own human thoughts and activities, on our own personalities. If the baptism means anything to you, it should bring you to the earth, to the death of the ordinary, where you are no longer putting faith in your own understanding, but conscious of your own poverty, you are yielded to the Spirit. Are you willing today? Because in this reworking that God wants to do, you'll have to surrender. And you say, what's that mean? You know what? There's different areas where we've resisted. There's different areas where we have been unfaithful to certain things, and we've just done our own thing. I was thinking of a person this week that I've dealt with in ministry over the years, and tremendous talent, tremendous ability, but one of the most undependable people I've ever met. You know, Bible says that sometimes if you're not careful, it's like biting down on a bad tooth. It's like you want to use that tooth. God wants to use that tooth, but that tooth is not solid. You've got to be faithful. You got to, and you know what? That requires a surrender. You know, when we become unfaithful because God says, I want this, and you say, I want that. And you have a choice, right? Surrender to what God wants. And now God is going to begin to do things that you never thought were possible. So let's go back again and look at this. Jeremiah 18 again. He goes down to verse 5. He says, then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter has done, declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's house, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now, notice that God is asking a question of us today. Can I not do with you as the potter has done? That's a question. I can't answer for you. I have to ask myself, can God do with me what he wants to do? Can God do with you? Can he work some things in your life, in your relationship? Can I do with you as the potter has done? See, again, it comes down to the issue of surrender. God asks all of us, can I do this with you? Can I do this in your life? Can I direct you in this way? You know, really, it comes down to trust and faith. You know, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? You say, well, you know, God says, I want you. You know, there have been multiple times in my life where I got fearful and I said, you know what, I'm going to pursue this career. I'm going to pursue this education. I'm going to pursue this job. And I had to come to that place. And here's what it boiled down to. Can I trust God? We say, oh, I trust God, do you? If you trust God, you'll surrender to God. If you'll trust God, you'll humble your heart because you know that he's got your best interest in mind. He says if you, you know, if you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a stone or a snake, right? Do you trust God today? Can I do this with you? You're marred. You've got issues in your life. There's things that's gone on. And let me just tell you, if we don't want to end up in, you know, the devil's goal is the trash heap. God's goal is the reworked. It's the next generation of Doris John's pottery. It's the next generation. It's something that you didn't think could happen. It's the David that now actually is right in Jesus' name. It's not the David that was just the king that had everybody in his beck and call, but it's the David that his name is tagged on to the Messiah's name, Jesus, son of David. Are you with me? Can I do this with you, the Lord says? But Lord, I want to do this. Well, you'll have some crossroads there. You'll say, God, I surrender. I surrender to you. I surrender my time. You know, sometimes, especially in this generation, we got our lives mapped out. God cannot do with you what he wants to do unless you're willing to give him your time. Can I do with you? Can I take your time? Can I take your energy? Can you trust me with your finances? You know, we talk about giving all the time here. I don't believe anybody should be afraid of giving, but it's a trust issue. It's a trust issue with people when you give finances to the kingdom of God. Trust me, the Lord says. Believe that there's great potential. See that pot? There was great potential still in that marred lump. Do you know that today there's great potential in every marred person here? And why do you say every marred person? Some of you, it's not as evident as others. That's okay. We're still marred. And I guarantee you today, if we went around and we all had to tell the secret things of our heart, we're all marred. We've all failed. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Right on down, you know, somebody said at the foot of cross, the field is level. What's that mean? It means we're all in the same position. We're all in need of a Savior. We've all fallen short. We've all messed up. Can I do this with you, the Spirit says today? You know, Jeremiah 29:11 another thing he spoke to Jeremiah. That Jeremiah 18. Now we're Jeremiah 20. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for wholeness." How many would like some wholeness? "Plans for wholeness and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope." You say, "I blew my future." Not if you let God rework you. Not if you let God rework you. "To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you, and you will seek me, and you will find me. And when you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you." See, will God, yes, he says, "I'll be found by you." Do you realize this week, if you'll seek God, he'll be found. You'll find him. If you see, "But Pastor, I've messed up. You're marred." But if you seek God afresh, he'll be found by you. He'll say, "Here I am." It may be in a scripture you read. It may be in a time of prayer. It may be God put a call and something in your heart that he challenges you to do. He says, "I will be found by you." How many glad God will be found by you? He'll rework you. He'll be found by you. Not just by the preacher. Not just by Billy Graham. Not just by somebody else. He'll be found by you. Put your name in there, declares the Lord. "And I will restore your fortunes. And I will gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." This is God's word today for you. This is not just for Jeremiah, but it's for you. That's why it's written for all time and eternity, God's word. Billy Graham said this. He said, "The cross comes with its mighty power to bring low as well as to exalt. For it exalts none but those whom first it humbles. It calls the pious worshiper to come down out of his ivory tower and take his place at the cross with the outcast and the vile. It tells the earnest seeker and the anxious inquirer that by their own efforts they are made not one whit better until they put their hope fully in him who was slain. It tells the sincere evangelical whose mind is a treasury of orthodox doctrines that he must stand beside the drunkard and the harlot and say, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I realize that these are hard sayings, but the Bible says that the cross is an offense to the righteous, to the righteousness of man. The cross says that all have sinned. It is that every person marred by sin must be remade. So if you'll come to the cross today, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you've been in a backslidden state and away from God. I'm going to tell you today, he'll restore the marred vessel. If you've gone through something in your life and you thought, "I can't do anything for God, I'm just praying for the rapture." Well, I'm praying for the rapture too, but it's not because nothing's going to happen until the rapture. The Bible doesn't tell us to go wait on a hill, right? He says occupy. People that occupy are people that have been remade. So today, can God do that with you? What are you doing in your life? You've been marred. You've gone through something. Something's broken you. You know, being marred means you've been broken. How many have been broken by some things? Some things have hit your life. See, God is in your brokenness. Listen to that. God is in your brokenness. You say, "Well, God is in your brokenness. That thing that has just taken you down 5 notches, 10 notches, God's in that. And then he's going to remake you." Let's come before God today. Let's bow our heads.